Down 3-1 late in the match in the Sweet 16, the Baylor men's tennis team marched back in a 20-minute span to knock off Stanford and punch their ticket to the Elite Eight. This is Locked On Baylor.
You are Locked On Baylor, your daily podcast on the Baylor Bears, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, it is Monday, everyone. Happy start of your week. I'm Drake Toll from Sikkim 365 alongside Michael Woodson, the men's tennis coach for Baylor University. Thanking you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every single day. And coach, first and foremost, congratulations on the win over Stanford. But I want to take you back to a moment in time where the Baylor men's tennis team is down 3-1 to the Cardinal, and you have three really tightly contested matches going on across three different courts. And for a second there, it looked like Stanford could take it the distance and even pull off a win.
For sure. They came out really strong in the doubles. I thought played much better than us, much more poised. And like I said, right after the match, I felt like they punched us in the mouth. We were a little distracted looking around, and we did a great job of taking the opportunity to reset after the doubles, and was able to create some momentum there in singles. We got four first sets, which was what we needed if we could close those matches. And I felt like we were in a good position, even though we were down 3-1. We were up a set on Wompy and Teddy's courts, and then Finn, even though he dropped the second set, a tight second set, he got up a break pretty quickly there in the third and was running away with it. And so, the good thing about the whole situation was that we were able to take both tiebreakers on Wompy and Teddy's courts, and that didn't add additional pressure, I felt like, for our team. And those were, it was just a point here or there. Both 7-5 in the breakers, it could have been anybody's match if those go to a third set.
Looking at Matias Soto, when you're down 2-1, right, and he's got a chance to take it to a third, he's right there neck and neck, and then he drops to make it 3-1, the deficit increases. When you have a guy like Matias, a team leader, going down in that position, do you waver at all as a coach and think, okay, that's not very fun?
For us, it's the task at hand. We've got to focus on the task at hand, and definitely it adds a lot of pressure onto the guys that are still playing because they have to win. They did a great job of not looking around. I'm not sure if they knew what the scores were, but the scoreboard's big. You can kind of tell what's going on a little bit, and you can feel that momentum on the courts around you and what's happening. So for the guys to stay the course and remain focused in those breakers, especially after, Sven and Monty went down, was not easy to do. And I thought they handled it really well.
Obviously the devil's point is not the end of the world. If you lose that, you proved that with the win against Stanford. But I know you kind of remarked even in the post-match that it felt like it was probably your worst doubles performance of the year as a team, which you got that one out of the way, thank goodness. What do you feel like attributed to that, though? Where did that come from?
You never know. There's a couple things that's come to mind. I think tactically, for whatever reason, our teams have been choosing to receive first. I think we're a good returning team, and that's not a bad thing at all, other than that if we all return first, then we get down 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, 4-3. Even though we're on serve and the matches are tied, the scoreboard pressure is a real thing. Serving at 3-4 is different than serving at 4-4 or 3-all. And so we happen to return first on all three courts, and usually, and a lot of times it's Wompy and Monty, we'll break in the first game. And then it feels like, okay, well, we return first, but we're winning at least one of the matches. And we had break points at 1-all on courts 1 and 2, and we didn't get it. And so we were down. We happened to be on serve down 2-3 on every single court. And it just felt like there was a lot of pressure, even though we weren't down. We were all on serve. So I think that was a mistake tactically. It's something that we were able to recognize. Actually, the same thing happened against A&M. We just happened to break right away on a couple courts, and it didn't feel the same. And then I think there was, we just had an incredible crowd and a great atmosphere. And that atmosphere got our guys, a little jittery, which is to be expected and is totally okay. And I thought it took our guys a little while to settle in. And I think Stanford expected it to be tough, and they don't know what tough looks like, so they just expected the worst and were kind of ready for whatever was going to be thrown at them. So they just handled it, the start, a little bit better than we did. And I think the scoreboard pressure really benefited them. So I think it was a combination of those two things.
You know, you mentioned Wampy too, and I wanted to go there kind of next. When you have a 3-3 match and it comes down to his court, and you've got a guy that transferred in from UCF, right? That is the weight of this Elite Eight or of Sweet 16 match is now on his shoulders in the midst of the crowd on court six, too. Just what a moment when he won that. I know you went over and it felt like you were just this close to tackling him, just formed like on the ground. And I'm so surprised you refrained somehow. But just take me through that moment as a coach, getting to see him pull that off on six.
You know, he's had a couple of huge 3-all clinching matches this year, and he is better than maybe anybody else that I know of playing his level under pressure. If he played as well under pressure as he did, if he played under pressure the same all the time when there was no pressure at the beginning of sets, I mean, he wouldn't be in that position actually. And so sometimes as a coach, you get a little frustrated, but he just rises to that occasion. And I know that was a huge opportunity for him. And he actually had 6 match points already by the time he won it at 6-5. And even though it didn't, you know, he wasn't choking or anything, he was 5 of those were on return. The guy played some good points. He had a good look at a forehand at 6-2 and he missed it. And I thought he played a fantastic point. I mean, his opponent really dug in there and, you know, he just outlasted him at 6-5. And it was a little distracting, I'm sure, from all the fans and the players. Everybody was running from court 5 all the way across the facility to court 6. And as he's trying to serve and prepare, I mean, I think he knew what was happening. And so he handled it incredibly well. And yeah, I mean, I was ready to tackle him. Then I realized that if I tackled him or if I got on top first and I was going to be on the bottom of the pile, and I thought that's not a good idea.
I love
that.
Yeah, that too. I know a lot of people listening today were probably in the crowd, a part of an unbelievable atmosphere at the Hurd facility. And really, in that moment, you beat Stanford. You go to the Elite Eight for the 3rd year in a row, and the entire crowd is right there on one court backing you up. Can you put that individual moment into words, especially for you in your first official year as a head coach and the first time you've gotten that postseason atmosphere at the Hurd?
You know, it was just an incredible environment. The guys deserved this opportunity. I feel like everything that they've been through and all that they've worked for, they earned this chance to play in such a big match at home under the lights, prime time. And, you know, it's just so much credit to our marketing and fan engagement staff through all the work that our support staff's put in to put on an incredible event like this, spotlighting not just Baylor tennis, but the sport of tennis. And what a great product it is. And then, I mean, amazing effort from the Baylor family to come out and support us. It was a beautiful night. It was a great product, but they had to come in and cheer, and they made a difference in this match. I mean, no doubt about it. You know, that they gave us the push that we needed to get over the hump there at the end. And it turned into, you know, sure, I would love a 4-0, a little bit less stressful, but, you know, the event itself and the way it all unfolded, I think, was exciting for the fans and something that will keep people coming back.
Again, you know, the run to now moving into the Sweet 16, you're going from the Sweet 16 to the Elite Eight, going to Champaign and seeing a Tennessee team. For those that, you know, aren't familiar with the sport, what do you look forward to in Champaign, being on a neutral site against a team that you saw last year in a similar spot?
It's going to be a dogfight. Alex Gruskin mentioned that's the best rivalry in college tennis that nobody talks about. And, you know, he asked me last week if I smirked when I saw the draw. And I thought, well, we have a lot of work to do to get to that point. If we have an opportunity to play Tennessee in the Elite Eight, then that means we've had a great run and we're going to be excited about it. And certainly, I mean, we love playing Tennessee. They've got such great energy. They're so fiery, feisty. As players and as a coaching staff. And, you know, we have had the opportunity to play them a couple times recently, and they got the better of us at National Indoors. But this can be a different match. It's going to be outside on a neutral court, and We're really looking forward to that opportunity. You know, our guys are ready for this moment. We've got the experience, and we're just happy to be a part of it.
Coach, last question before we kind of get into our second segment today. Would love to know, you know, you and I kind of talked about Adrian Boyton and what he's meant to the program at Baylor and how he could very well go down as the best to ever lace him up in a Baylor uniform. And how close is he to that distinction, the greatest to do it for Baylor men's tennis?
Just even mentioning him in that conversation is an incredible honor for him. That distinction is held by, you know, Benedict Dorsch, Benny Becker, you know, some of the best players to ever play the sport of tennis, you know, and probably the best to play in college tennis. You know, both won individual national championships here. Both were part of a team national champion chip program. And so, yeah, it's a really, that's quite the honor just to be mentioned in the same breath as those guys. But he's making a strong case. I mean, what he's been able to do this year and really through the last few years is really special. And you saw it on Friday night. I mean, he leads by example. He, you know, all the energy, emotion, the confidence for this team trickles down from him.
Now, before we get into a conversation about what it is like to coach, and trust me, Coach Woodson's not going anywhere. He's coming back, I promise. Before we get into a conversation about what it's like to coach at Baylor and at a private Christian university as well, I want to tell you about betonline.net, the number one source for all of your betting needs. Bet online. Go to betonline.net or betonline.ag and check out all the lines on NBA playoffs, which I think are still going on. You have Major League Baseball games. You can do live betting. You can go, it's like fight season, I guess, for UCF, or that's the university for UFC, NFL futures as well, college futures for Big 12 champions. I know we talked about it last week. Baylor's like what, fourth or fifth? It's not good. You can make free money there on a Big 12 champion Baylor University. BetOnline, continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs to esports and more. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. You know, Coach, getting into really the Baylor realm and what it's like to be in the head man spot of one of these programs, kind of first and foremost, you know, when recruits step into the Hurd Tennis Center and when they meet you for the first time, what makes Baylor different to those guys who are also visiting TCU and Kentucky and Tennessee and Ohio State and Florida? What sets Baylor apart when it comes to your program individually?
That's a great question. I honestly feel like it all starts with the university. I mean, it's an absolutely incredible place. It's very special. You know, I just love what the university stands for, its Christian mission, the intimate nature of the university, and the niche that we have as an athletic department that is, I would argue, the best in the country. But also being at a medium-sized private school. You know, those are the things that all of these student athletes want to be a part of, a big-time college athletics. And they also want to get a great education. And there's not that many schools that offer both. And I really think that this is a special place. And as a tennis coach, you know, the young men that want to come to this program are top students, and they're top athletes, and we have the opportunity to marry those things together and to help them along their path, both while the ball is still bouncing and when it's done bouncing. And you know, I think that that's what really separates us. And then it's cliche to say, but the people ultimately separate us. You know, we have people that truly care at the highest level about just the development of each young person that comes through this university, whether they're a tennis player or a football player or just part of the general student body. We will do anything to help them along their path and want to create and help develop the best leaders for the future of our country and this world.
What is the selling point? I know you're a big Top Golf guy, and when recruits come to town, your first place you're headed is Top Golf. But what is the selling point where you really see every single recruit, their eyes light up? When you say that one thing, when you show them that one thing, what part of Baylor is the marquee, can't miss, this is what's attracting so many players?
Well, we talk about, you know, really having a pro model in a college setting. That being said, I don't think that saying that is what gets them. I think a lot of people say that. It's when players, recruits, and their families come on campus and they're walking around and they're meeting with different people, whether that's the student body, with administrators, with support staff. We all have the same message. We all speak the same language, and we all clearly care about the development of the young person, and helping them get to reach their ultimate goals, which we believe extends far beyond Baylor. As that message comes across, not just from me, who it's my job to recruit you, but from everybody that they interact with, whether they have ties to the tennis program or not, you can start to see it sink in. And that to me is what's so special. We're all on the same page. We're all pushing in a direction together, and we're all doing something that's, you know, bigger than ourselves.
Coach, you're at a small, medium size, we'll say, private Baptist college. That is a niche. Those are really like three niches within themselves. How do you recruit great athletes that still fit into that niche or embrace it?
You know, I think you have to make sure that you're doing your homework, doing your due diligence. You know, I was sitting in the living room of a recruit last week, and we talked about how we don't really recruit a lot of players. We pay a lot of attention to a lot of players, and then get to know them and their families and who they're about, what they're about, and then pick and choose a few that we feel like, well, we can help and that will thrive in this environment. Because it, like you said, it's a special place. It's not for everybody. We think it's an unbelievable version of, you know, of what we are. But, you know, we have to get the right young men to fit into the culture as well. And so we just pick a few that we feel like will thrive and that we can actually make a difference in their lives. And then we recruit them like crazy until they come.
How much pressure is there when you look across at football and see a Sugar Bowl championship? You look at women's basketball, Big 12 championship, men's basketball. You're looking at all these different programs, national championship and A&T, that are successful across the athletics department. How much pressure does that put on other programs, yours included, to be up there with those teams?
I just think it's a standard. You know, we pursue excellence here, and we have a very high standard. And, you know, JT Wood said it before the Sugar Bowl, and we thought it was awesome because he mentioned our program. And I think it's motivating. It gives us confidence because we walk among the elite every single day. Our guys are training next to champions. They're eating next to champions. They're studying next to champions. They're working with former champions, current champions, and future champions. And, you know, to me, that just gives us that little bit of extra confidence that we can do it, so that when the pressure's on, like it was Friday night, that we are able to back ourselves and go for it. And so I don't look at it as pressure. I look at it as a great opportunity to learn and grow, you know, amongst the elite in many different professions and different sports. And, you know, hopefully that's something that will rub off on us.
Coach, someone who comes from Valparaiso and an outside program coming to Baylor, when you think about what that word Baylor has meant to you in the past, and even what it means to other teams when they hear it across all sports, what do you feel like that word carries with it?
I mean, I said it already, but I would say excellence. You know, when I got here, I thought I was making a selfish move to come here and learn about coaching at the highest level and, you know, being able to provide for my future family. And it's such a special place. And the people that make up the place push what is an incredible foundation, a great university, incredible resources, an unbelievable fan base. And the people around are able to bring it together and move it in a direction that is truly amazing. And to do that with a Christian mission tied to it is something that you can't do, you know, at a lot of other schools. It's not something that we can talk about. It's not, you know, faith is a beautiful part of life, and it's a huge part of pretty much everybody within our program, you know, and it means something different to everyone, but we can't talk about that at a lot of places. So the opportunity to be able to talk about that, I do think, gives us that extra little bit of an edge, you know, that I think is what we need in order to pursue excellence truly.
Coach, for my last question, that sounds like a magic trick intro. but it kind of is, because this is like a softball that I feel like I'm boxing you into, because it's so tough to say no. But I really want to know kind of your transparent answer to this. I understand, you know, being in Valparaiso and playing tennis there, I can't imagine that you were thinking, man, one day I'm going to be the head coach of Baylor men's tennis. That's my one dream job in the world. But now being in this role, has it morphed into your dream job? And right, you can't say no, but you know, really, what comes with that? Being the head coach of Baylor men's tennis, is this kind of like a final destination for coaches across the sport because of what this athletics department and university is?
I could not imagine leaving Baylor and going somewhere else. You know, and I just don't think it gets any better than everything that we have to offer here, particularly for me and my family. I'm sure circumstances would dictate otherwise for other people, but the way that we live our lives and what's important to us, and I can't think of anything better. I would have a hard time telling you that there's a weakness here, you know, within our university and athletic department. But no, certainly, I never thought about it as a student athlete of Valpo that I would even coach. And then when I got into coaching, I was ambitious. I wanted to be a Power Five head coach, and I wanted to do it at the highest level. But you know, talking about it or dreaming about it and actually being in the position are two totally different things. And now that have been blessed with the opportunity to be here, it's my goal to remain humble and continue to give back for all the great blessings that I've had in my life and help mentor, you know, coaches that came from where I came from. You know, it's not a usual path to getting into this role. And I want to make sure that I'm able to remember my roots and continue to have that kind of workmanlike mentality and just a humility about what we try to do and to continue to do it for the right reasons, which is for the young men.
Well, Coach, thanks as always for hopping on. And I would love to, for all of those that were in the herd this past weekend and want to follow along with the Elite Eight, Final Four, and inevitably the championship in Champaign, where can they find you?
Yeah, I mean, well, we're all over social media and our Baylor men's tennis and my Twitter handle's right there. We'll be buzzing with different interviews and previews for the great matches that are ahead Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. But we're going to be carried live on the Tennis One app. You can find it on all of the different social media platforms, but we'll also be sharing it out. That's where you'll be able to follow, watch live, as well as live scoring. So we're really excited about it. Hope we'll have a good turnout there from the Baylor family up in Champaign, and can't wait to get going.
Great, Coach. Thanks again for coming on.
Thank you for having me, as always.
Geez, really good stuff there from Michael Woodson. As always, that guy's an absolute stud. Speaking of studs, Built Bar will turn you into a stud. If you haven't tried it yet, please. Birthday cake puffs. Go on to the online, built.com. Birthday cake puffs. 100% real chocolate. These like marshmallowy puffs that I can't, it's tough to explain unless you just try it. Just try it at built.com. It's 100% real chocolate, like I said, with 150 calories, right? 16 grams of protein, 9 grams of sugar. Okay. Built Bar puffs are way, way healthier than a candy bar. Way healthier. Like, that's candy bars, like 250 calories, 30 grams of sugar. Built Bar is 150 calories, right? So it's 100 less if you're following the math. Made with collagen protein too, makes your body absorb more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Go to built.com, get the birthday cake puffs right now. Built.com, code LOCKED15 gets you 15% off. You order a billion of those puffs, you get like $150 million off. That's a deal. 15% off your order at built.com. LOCKED15 is your promo code. LOCKED15 at built.com. All right, the next topic very shortly. Baylor has gotten a new commit on the football field. Welcome to the gridiron. 6'3", 200-pound athlete Dawson Pendergrass is coming to the Bears. According to Rivals.com, he is a 5.5 out of 10, whatever that means, three-star guy. His schools that were interested were Baylor Air Force, Arkansas, Arkansas State, and Army. So Baylor and Arkansas obviously being the two marquee schools there, and Baylor beating out Arkansas for the commitment from Dawson Pendergrass. Now, according to Sikkim365.com, who helped break the news, verbal pledge to really Dave Aranda, Eric Mateos, the two big guys that were on the trail for that guy, the 10th commitment of the 2023 recruiting class. Texas Tech and Indiana were also in the running to catch the running back. Now, he's listed as an athlete, so 6'3", 215 pounds. That's a freaking big running back. Pendergrass last season rushed for 1,987 yards as a junior, 25 touchdowns on 198 carries, caught 17 passes, 357 yards and 4 touchdowns. Been in high school football for 3 years, 50 touchdowns, including his 25 last year. Again, like a 25 touchdowns is a lot. 4,230 yards. If you go right now, you can find this kid's Huddle highlight film. Look up, okay? Go to Dawson Pendergrass, the athlete, Dawson Pendergrass. On Twitter, you can find him at Dawson_PENNI. And he's got a link right there to his Huddle profile. You can go watch a lot of the plays. Pretty crafty playmaker from Mineola, Texas, and a guy that I think is going to add another piece of athleticism to this class. Now, do I think he'll be an immediate contributor for Baylor? Probably not. But still, if Dave Aranda is going after this kid and Eric Mateos, you're getting a running back that you know could do something on the football field. So again, 6'3", we'll say 215 pounds in total with Arkansas, Indiana, Texas Tech, those guys that he beat out. So he was a 5'3A Division I first team all-district at both running back and defensive back his sophomore year, so he can play the DB position as well as that. Again, listed as an athlete, so he can play at multiple spots, which he's joining Austin Novosad, Micah Gifford, who is Justin DeLeon, Matthew Kloppenstein, who we talked about on the show as well, Hawkins Polly, linebacker Christian Brathwaite, who we've talked about as well, Javion Wilcox, Aldi Nimitz, Corey Huff Jr., and Torian York, who are all guys committed to Baylor's class of 2023, along with a couple of those transfers that we mentioned as well. These coming from Sports Illustrated. That's Josh White of LSU and former Tulsa defensive lineman Jackson Player. So if you go online, go to the Huddle for our new friend, my old friend, I don't know, he's a Bayer friend now, Dawson Pendergrass. Again, Dawson_PENNI to check out Dawson Pendergrass's highlight film. I know you really like it because I enjoyed it, and I think he's going to add a great piece. Again, not maybe a star piece to this class and a immediate contributor, but a guy who could play at the running back spot, could play at the defensive back spot, wherever Dave Aranda kind of wants to throw him out there. Dude's got great height as well, really solid size, and will add another piece, the 10th piece, double digits. Whoop, whoop. To the class of 2023. Now, great stuff today from Coach Michael Woodson and talking about Dawson Pendergrass. Now, come back tomorrow. Tomorrow's show. I think we're going to have a big guest. I'm moving houses right now. I told you I'm committed to full transparency. I'm moving houses. So we're kind of making things happen here and there. But right now, go to Locked On Big 12. Get your daily Big 12 news. That guy, Josh Neighbors, he's not moving houses. So you can get a half hour or less all your Big 12 news right now. And go check it out. Thank you for making Locked On Baylor, though, your first listen every single day. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Also, I'll go on a soapbox for a second. I saw Ray LaMontagne in concert this weekend. If you don't know who Ray LaMontagne is, you've heard the Trouble song, the Trouble, 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 Trouble. I saw that guy live in concert, and when I tell you, wasn't great. Kind of surprised. Wasn't really great, honestly. So if you get a chance to see Ray LaMontagne in concert, you don't have to. Not going to twist your arm because you might not love it. It was weird. It was one of the weirder concerts I've been to. Just strange. So if he comes to a town near you and it's cheap, try it out. Just go see it because I honestly was entertained by how weird it was. But if it's a lot of money, please do not waste it. This has been. Come back tomorrow. I think I have something fun planned. Locked. I mean, there could be a pretty darn big guest in the works. On. Try it. Baylor.